What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Super Mario in Review that should be live for everybody on patreon.com/kindafunny. Remember, you can go there, of course, to watch the show live as we record it. You can get the show ad-free. You get a bevy of bonus content. Greg, what's some of that content?
Oh, man, you could be watching the daily vlogs called Gregways. You could be watching Kinda Feudie, hosted by Blessing Adeoye Jr. You could be watching the one, the only Next Gen podcast, also starring Blessing Adeoye Jr. I guess Blessing's on a lot of the exclusive content, but it's all really good.
There's Remember Blank. There's the one where we talk about
lists. Remember Blank, too.
The shit list.
Shit list, yeah.
Can I say that in the first 30 seconds of a podcast?
I don't know. You just did, didn't you?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Shit.
Shit. Look at all my shit.
You do all that, you could also be a Patreon producer like Tripod Plus Plus, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Nathan Lamothe, and Al Tribesmen have done. We appreciate all of you very much. But for everyone else, you already know, this is Kinda Funny in Review, where we rank, recap, and review every single movie franchise in recorded history. If you like a movie or don't like a movie, chances are we have done all of the aforementioned things to it. You can check that out on YouTube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com in video form. If you want the podcast, you can go to your favorite podcast service and search for Kinda Funny in Review, and we will be right there for you. Normally, we review movies in release order, from them coming out in theaters, whatever year, whatever was first, we do that, and then we do the sequels later. But this is one of those rare times, everybody, where the schedule didn't allow for it. So we did the 2023 Super Mario Brothers movie, and now, after popular demand, we're doing the 1993 Super Mario Brothers movie. Thank you all for being here to watch this. I know it's been a long time coming. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, but I'll get to that later. Greg Miller.
Andy has said that I should have a second Coke, so I'm going to go get another Coke. Don't say anything while I'm gone.
That's what you should have a second Coke. Of course,
I spoke to his doctor.
Greg Miller, he hasn't been introduced yet. We got thrown off a little bit. Are we good, Kev, on this? Are we live where we need to be?
Yeah, I don't know why he said that. We were live.
I just wasn't seeing anybody talking in chat.
But now people are talking.
Oh, you know, it's probably different. It's probably
a different chat.
You know what?
Yeah. It's a different chat. If we can change the chat, that'd be really cool. I'd love to see the live chat on patreon.com/kindafunny. But it's a team effort, and that team includes me, Tim Geddes, this guy, the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Hello.
You've been practicing.
I mean, kind of. Mm-hmm. The problem is, Tim, it's like a lot of the songs, you can't really play on that other fake guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to play them here, but I don't have my iPad here, so I don't remember how to play anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
God. The man with two Cokes, Greg Miller.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Greg. How you doing? How can one Mario movie get so much right and so much wrong? We'll find out.
We will find out. What a day you've had, Greg.
Right?
Anything you want to talk about?
Sorry?
Anything you want to talk about today?
We did KFW. KFW returned. It was
great.
YouTube.com/kindafunnygames to watch on demand of that. Blessings involved. Can he overcome the new Law and Order that is the Xbox Kinect Paris Lily? You'll have to watch to find out.
That is a great question. How are you feeling, new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.?
I'm feeling good now that I have a Coke.
Oh, we're coking up today, everyone.
We're coked out of our gourds, Tim.
Yeah, dude. Rounding out the group, making his return to Kinda Funny content. My first time making content with him in over a week.
Over a week.
Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Tim. I cannot wait to talk about this movie. I watched this movie on a plane ride back from New York City.
You were there?
I had to experience Brooklyn for myself.
Yeah.
Didn't go to Brooklyn, of course. I went to Manhattan. Same thing, though. Come back.
Exactly.
Watch this. Actually disappointed that I was watching it on a small computer screen because I was like, I need to see the nuance of every one of these frames of painting.
Every frame. A lot of Dutch angles.
Every frame of painting. A lot of Dutch angles. A lot of just interesting choices with wardrobes that are being thrown on this movie. I can't wait to talk to you guys about this.
A lot of stuff going on in this movie. Of course, this movie is Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Not to be confused with the Super Mario Brothers movie. It's like Fast and Furious. Moving around the thes, getting rid of the thes. It's a whole thing.
Lords of the Fallen.
Mm-hmm. You think they call the new one the Super Mario Brothers movie because they're trying to take over the SEO?
100%.
For people that are looking up the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Please forget this other thing.
Yeah, please don't find
please
this
bury
other
it.
Thing.
Yeah, I mean, jokes aside, they tried to bury it. Like, the Super Mario Brothers movie, Super Mario Brothers, the movie, was on streaming services. And then Nintendo and Illumination came through and were like, not
hell
so fast, everybody. But a fun fact, Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the one that we're about to talk about today, owned by Disney in like a crazy weird way because of Buena Vista and a whole bunch of other things involved.
Sense. Wow,
like,
Buena Vista. Disney,
Disney's
those are two words.
Those are words.
Holy shit.
This one had a runtime.
I just haven't heard those two words together as a company in so long.
See, I've heard it a lot and thought about it a lot because, of course, I grew up watching, you know,
Three Ninjas?
VHS tapes, Buena Vista on there.
Buena Vista.
But then, of course.
Is that what it is?
It's good. It's good.
In Chicagoland, of course. Portillo's rules. And there's a bunch of hot dog stands and everything else. But then one day out of the blue, this place Buena Beef showed up trying to outdo them. And Buena Beef's still around and I'd eat it. Don't get me don't worry about that. But I was just saying, originally we were like, well, what's this shit about?
You know, oh, gotcha. Mean? Okay.
But man, they made a big sandwich.
This one had a runtime of 1 hour and 44 minutes, making it just 12 minutes longer than the 2023 animated. Soon to be classic.
And I'll tell you, it feels a lot longer than that.
And there's actually 30 minutes of deleted content, Greg, that you can find out there. There's an extended cut of this movie that is available as of 2019 that you can go find on the Internet Archive. If you're interested in watching this movie, by the way, kindoffunny.com/Mario will lead you to the Internet Archive version of a completely legal version of the 1993 movie that you can watch.
Heads up, though, in 30 days from the posting of this video, I'm going to change that to hardcore porn. So somebody tweet me in 30 days to switch that link over to something on porn.
But what is it going to be Mario porn?
Then? Yeah.
Good. I think it should be.
For unknown reasons, the entire ending
of
the
movie. That's what we call an Easter egg. That's fun. You know what I mean?
There goes the YouTube monetization.
There it goes. There it goes. Hour 44 minute runtime, but for unknown reasons, the entire ending of the movie has been cut for Italian release. In this version, the film ends with the Goombas dancing in queue outside the de-evolution machine, waiting to return to normal. Even the end credits were altered, with the inclusion of scenes from the whole movie and with the Roxette song Almost Unreal replaced with Speed of Light by Joey Satriani, which is also part of the soundtrack of the film. And they just decided, you know what? We're just going to cut the movie here.
We don't, yeah, to be honest with you, Italians, we don't have a good attention span. I don't know if you've worked with me before, but yeah. You got to get like 10 minutes in. We're like, we don't want to watch this movie anymore.
And they made that call and they did that shit. It was released on May 28th, 1993, 2 days after Kevin's birthday.
Nice.
This was the first Hollywood film directly based on a specific video game property.
Wow.
It was directed by Rocky Morton and Annabelle Jankel.
Two people. It took two people to make this film.
And wife at the time.
They are not.
Trouble in Paradise.
Rocky and his then partner Annabelle Jankel made their television debut with the original, and Annabelle Hankin, aka AJ Jankel's creation, Max Headroom. Y'all remember Max Headroom?
I remember Max Headroom, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
That makes a lot of sense.
For the people that don't know who Max Headroom is, bless. I imagine you.
Is that the virtual reality guy?
Nick, can you please explain?
Yeah, he was sort of like, he was that character. I don't know if it was virtual reality or like an animated character. I don't know. He was like, he had really slicked back crazy hair. He would glitch out a lot. And it was basically like a weird post-apocalyptic MTV nightmare is what Max Headroom felt like. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's close enough.
Was that a movie,
though?
If you
watch Back to the Future 2 when he goes to Cafe 80s and Ronald Reagan is talking, that's basically
what it looked like, yeah.
Bless for you, the Eminem Rap God video.
Yeah.
Remember when he's in like a weird like yellow suit and he's kind of like glitching around?
Definitely thought you meant Eminem the Candy. Give me a second.
The duo made their big screen debut with DOA.
J.K. Simmons is a yellow Eminem rapping.
The duo made their big screen debut with DOA starring Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan.
Okay, sure. I think that might be the movie they met. No, they met on Interspace. Never mind.
Martin Short.
Yeah. Martin Short introduced him.
Wow.
Music
This is Dennis Quaid. This is Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
Anyone want to guess who was the composer on the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Hans Zimmer.
Alan Silvestri.
DJ Junkie J.
Was that a guess or did you know?
I saw the credits, I think. Sorry.
Alan Silvestri.
Yeah.
AKA the man that composed Back to the Fucking Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump, Castaway, the Avengers theme song, Andy Cortez.
Wait, like the... Whoa.
Yeah.
This is Captain America's composer.
And there's a lot of shit to talk about this movie. The score, not one of those things. It's a fucking banger. Is it a great Mario movie soundtrack? No, it's not.
Is this a Mario movie?
That's a lot of questions. A lot of great questions that we will answer here on In Review. This one had a budget of $48 million. a box office of $39 million.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, not the type of returns you want to look for.
You know a movie's bad when you watched it as a five-year-old like I was and knew that it was bad. It was hard to, like, for a five-year-old to not enjoy something.
Yeah.
I loved the Mortal Kombat 2 sequel as a kid. Watching this, I was like, this is not a good movie. I don't know how, like, that's a bad sign. You've got a bad movie on your hands.
So normally, this is the part that I'd want to go into our opinions on this film. But I'm not going to do that because it's time for some Facts of the Furious.
Oh,
I have some trivia that I need y'all to know.
I love this.
Before we even get into this. By the way, there is a behind-the-scenes breakdown documentary of the making of this film that I recommend everybody watch. It's on YouTube. Just look for Super Mario Brothers movie documentary. It'll be there, and it's going to blow your fucking mind. Some of the facts are going to be presented to you right now. The concept of a
facts
parallel
of the Furious
universe.
I forgot the theme song.
The concept of a parallel universe inhabited by dinosaurs was inspired by Dinosaur Land from the recently released Super Mario World. Jankel envisioned the parallel dimension as a whole world with reptile point of view, dominated by aggressive primordial behavior and basic instincts. While Morton considered the ecological and technological consequences of a dinosaur society that holds fossil fuels sacred. It's a wonderful parody of New York and heavy industry. We call it New Brutalism.
Man, y'all are doing too much. You're doing too much.
Screenwriters Parker Bennett and Terry Runt were tasked with balancing comedy with a darker tone. Bennett said Ghostbusters was the model. We were aiming towards funny, but kind of weird and dark.
I mean, that's what I think of when I think of Mario.
Straight up.
The darkness.
Before Bob Hoskins was officially cast, Danny DeVito and Bruno Kirby were both attached to play the role of Mario at different times. Tom Hanks was considered for the role of Luigi, seen to be the main protagonist of this film.
Okay.
But the failures of Turner and Hooch
and
Joe versus the Volcano led the studio to believe that Hanks was no longer a box office draw.
Incredible movie.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
And then you know what he did? He shoved fucking Sleepless in Seattle right up their keister.
I mean, no, but here's the thing. After two kind of major L's that Tom Hanks took, this could have been three in a row. This could have been the nail in the coffin for Tom Hanks.
Could have buried him.
It could have killed him before COVID almost got him. Remember
instead,
that?
It kind of killed John Leguizamo's career instead. So that was
what are you talking
did
about?
Did it kill him or put him on the goddamn map?
Put him on a map, and then everyone's like, put that map away.
That came before or after. Spawn.
Incredible.
The menu.
Menu 30 years later. That's what you're going to point to.
Kill his career? You know what I mean?
You're right. He's still acting.
Kevin Sorbo ain't doing shit.
Hey, who does he voice in fucking Ice Age? Does he voice someone?
Yeah, he's like that. Isn't he the little dude?
He's Sid.
Yeah. Little guy,
How about that?
Good job, Kev. Bob Hoskins didn't know that the film he was making was based on a video game until his son asked him what he was working on. When Hoskins mentioned the film's title, his son immediately recognized it and showed Hoskins the game on his own Nintendo Entertainment System.
Wow.
And he was like, point, this looks like nothing like what
Bob
we're doing.
Hoskins was like, oh no, this is not what we're doing.
Dennis Hopper.
We're done filming and I haven't seen any of it.
These cute squares.
Dennis Hopper described the film's production. Quote, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Very honestly, that movie. It was a husband and wife directing team who were both control freaks and wouldn't talk before they made decisions. Every day, we would come in, and there just wouldn't be a script.
Dude.
Anyway, I was supposed to go down there for 5 weeks. I was there for 17. It was so over budget. Dennis Hopper explained why he did the film.
Money.
Quote,
money.
I made a picture called Super Mario Brothers. My six-year-old son at the time, he's now 18, he said, Dad, I think you're probably a pretty good actor, but why'd you play that terrible guy, King Koopa, in Super Mario Brothers? And I said, well, Henry, I did that so you could have shoes. And he said, Dad, I don't need shoes that badly.
Damn.
What I appreciate is I know the troubled stuff and I heard about the script ahead of time and yada yada. And like, there's that scene where he's talking about the de-evolution machine, but he's holding his arms like a T-Rex the entire. And it's like, oh, this is probably like the first thing they shot. And they're like, oh, you're an evolved T-Rex. That got it. I'm going to do this. And then never does it throughout the rest.
Greg, what if I told you that the 30 minutes cut from this movie are all him more like a T-Rex the entire time.
I believe
and they edited the movie like, that stuff's not working. Let's just have him be semi-normal kind of sometimes. I don't know. The Yoshi puppet was capable of making 64 separate movements due to 200 feet of cable crammed inside its 3-foot tall structure. In all.
Don't say crammed inside of
the Yoshi. Give me more cable! I can fit more cable in!
Great, we don't need to. No, I can't cram more.
In all, no less than 9 puppeteers were used to operate the Yoshi puppet. Great use of budget there. In his 2007 autobiography, John Leguizamo states that he and Bob Hoskins hated working on the film and would frequently get blackout drunk to make it through the experience. Both men apparently knew the movie would turn out bad, so they simply tried to make the best of it. He also stated he felt one of the biggest reasons the movie turned out the way it did was because the directors wanted a more adult movie, while the studio, considering the source material, was looking for a children's film. All of this is in the documentary, and we see behind-the-scenes footage of John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins just drinking.
I want to watch that so bad.
Yeah. It's awesome. In 2011, in an interview with The Guardian, Bob Hoskins described the film's production, saying, quote, "It was a fucking nightmare. The whole experience was a nightmare. It had a husband and wife team directing whose arrogance had been mistaken for talent. After so many weeks, their own agent told them to get the fuck off the set. Fucking nightmare. Fucking idiots.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Arnold Schwarzenegger turned down the role of King Koopa. Harold Ramis was offered to direct the film, but declined. During a chase scene, Bob Hoskins broke his finger when the van's door slammed on his hand.
Ooh.
For the rest of the film, Hoskins is wearing a cast that was painted pink to look like a hand.
Oh, wow.
Good CG. In addition to breaking his finger, Bob Hoskins recalled that he was stabbed 4 times, electrocuted, and nearly drowned.
Yeah.
And that's just what happened to me.
If I remember correctly, for the Harold Ramis bit, I'd heard that before, and I think it was like somebody, maybe a paper or somebody, quoted it as like the greatest like achievement of his career. The fact that he dodged the bullet of doing it.
Well, the sad thing was, if he had gotten involved, he probably could have made a pretty decent movie out of this. Like, if he was director, like, you know, he's a really good director.
Did this husband and wife ever do anything else again?
I mean, they've done a lot of things separately, and like nothing really of consequence, it seems.
Yeah.
So Bob Hoskins had his issues. Allegedly due to drinking on set, John Leguizamo was hit by a car, breaking his leg.
Oh my God.
You can even see the cast in shots of this movie.
Great. Great.
The set for Dino Hatton was built in an abandoned cement factory called the Ideal Cement Factory in the woods outside of Wilmington, North Carolina. Set designs were adapted to the existing structure of the building. This factory was also used as the Shredder and Foot Clan's hideout in the 1990 Ninja Turtles movie. And the Top Dollar's nightclub in The Crow from 1994.
Ooh, that's
rest
awesome.
In peace, Brandon Lee.
An article in Spy magazine claimed that the script was being rewritten so many times during production that the actors stopped paying attention to the daily rewrites. And again, you see this in the behind-the-scenes documentary of them just being like, you literally see John Leguizamo reading things and be like, Bob, I'm not doing this.
What the fuck?
Although Bob Hoskins said this is the worst film he has ever made, his son Jack Hoskins is a fan of the film, praising his dad's performance. He said he was too young to understand the poor reviews, and now that he's old enough, he doesn't care. He quoted on the film's fan website, smbarchive.com, which is a great website you can go to find like literally the deepest dive into a movie I've ever seen. Like, any piece of lore or facts about it exists there. They have every pop imaginable. It is insane. But they said, if there's anyone reading this, please understand that it's no one's intention to ruin the classics. One last thing. If you remember your past enjoyments, then it would definitely keep your childhood memories alive and safely locked in your head forever. That is from Bob Hoskins' son. And so with that, I want to start a rare time of me starting with my opinions of this movie.
Give it to me.
I know that I'm going to be on the minority of this.
I don't know. I don't think so, bro.
Oh, really?
Better than the animated.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. This is a bad movie. Straight up, across the board. I know it's a bad movie. I fucking love this movie. Yeah. And this to me is the perfect example. I'm Andy. I'm on the other side of you. I was the little kid that watched this and was infatuated. Me, Kevin, and my brother, we would watch this on repeats. And we're just like, it's so fucking weird. And like, this is not what we expect of Mario. But you got to remember, these are the early days of Mario where this was Mario. We didn't know what Mario was to compare it to, in the sense of like, this was the lore. This was the world we thought we were playing in the video game. Mm-hmm. And I bought the trading cards. I had a full set of the entire collection. I have my shiny Yoshi to this day. I was all about this fucking shit. And I have not seen this movie as an adult. This is the first time I've seen this movie since I was probably like 10, maybe. And like, look, I get it. I get where everyone's coming from. Like, it's not good. It's not a good Mario movie. There's so much dumb bullshit and whatever. There is a lot to love about this if you are nostalgic for 90s movies, and the set design, the production of things, the costumes are pretty fucking incredible and like nostalgic and weird for a time of movie making. And do I want that from a Mario movie? Definitely not. But there's something about this that just is so spectacularly, like, it's so bad that it's good. That, of course, comes from a bias of loving this when I was a dumb little kid. But I was shocked at how every single second I was like, I know the line that they're about to say. I know what's about to happen. I know what's going to be here. I know the music cue. I know the everything. And they fucking, like, it happened. And I'm like, damn, I must have seen this movie over 100 times. And I just didn't realize that. So it's like, yo, there's a classic here for a generation. I am not defending it, but like, I enjoyed the fuck out of my time with this movie. It is definitely worse than the new one, but I weirdly respect what this was and the fact that it exists and that it is the first video game movie. Good for you guys. Andy, what do you think?
This would be amongst the worst movies we've ever done an in review for me. Wow.
Have you seen Fast 2?
pretty decent movie. Inject the Cito, cuz. Yeah, I think it. Like, if you remove every name and title and proper noun from this movie, you just wouldn't know it's a Mario movie. And that, I think, is, like, the biggest crime of it all. If you just called the characters Josh and Steve, and like, it would just feel like a Bill and Ted's type movie. It would feel like an early movie, an early 90s sci-fi kind of comedy. It just feels like they didn't respect any of the source material in terms of, like, oh, yeah, we'll name those bad guys Lenny and whatever the fuck. You know, like, I just wanted more. You want more sound effects. You want more music.
Lenny and Spike. Which isn't even right. Oh, Lemmy. Lenny. Oh. They're right. But there's a Spike, and it's like, that's not Spike.
Yeah.
What about Toad?
I mean, Toad being the musician, I don't know. It just feels like, oh, like somebody was looking at back then a Wikipedia list. So, like, yeah, just name that guy that and name that guy that or whatever. Yeah, it has so many of those early 90s bad movies that, like, while you're watching it. And honestly, throughout so many of the shots, it, even now, like, whenever I'm scrolling TikTok, I always get the, here's what Breaking Bad would look like as an 80s TV show. And that's what it reminds you of, like, here's just, like, a chubby dude with a mustache with a red hat, and, oh, that's Mario in this sort of 90s remake or whatever. I like, so much of this is just terrible. I can tell that how many rewrites were happening, because it just felt like so many of the solutions to the problems were just thought up on the spot. The dancing with the dinosaurs, it's like,
iconic.
So many of these moments just feel like they figured out how to solve these problems while they were there. And like, it just feels like they were just kind of riffing the whole time. I really, really hated this movie. It was a bad time, but I do love the line of mud. It's clean and it's dirty.
All at the same time.
You know what I love about mud?
Tell me, Dennis Hopper, what do you love about mud?
This movie is just like off the rails, man. I really didn't have a very good time rewatching it.
Gregory Miller.
I was miserable last night watching this movie. Like, if you ever wonder why you don't see Greg on more in reviews, it's this is like the nightmare scenario of it. You're having it like, finally, the day of work's done. Oh, fuck. It can't be that long. An hour and 45 minutes? Oh, fuck. Pause it to walk the dog. It's only 45 minutes in. Jesus fucking Christ. Nick, I almost got divorced last night.
Sorry, Greg.
I'm watching this movie, and they're dropping off the dinosaur egg in the front, right? And there's all these goddamn Dutch angles. It looks like fucking ridiculous, like I'm watching a goddamn Goosebumps or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jen has the nerve to say, oh, this reminds me of Ghostbusters.
It does.
And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's a spiritual success.
She's like, it looks like Ghostbusters. Yeah. I'm like, it does not look like Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters does not use Dutch angles. Don't be offended. I'm just saying. And I'm like, don't be offended, but go in the fucking kitchen right now and pour a cup of coffee, because you're watching Ghostbusters right after this. Yeah, you see what a fucking stupid statement that is.
Dumb statement.
Yeah, I hated this. I have no love for it from being a kid either. I remember seeing it on TV here and there, and I was like, what the fuck is this movie? I don't think I ever sat down and watched it start to finish. What the fuck is going on in this movie or whatever? And watching it straight through, I do give it credit for, like, you know, you say if you removed everything, it's not a more, of course, but I do give it credit for really going places. You know what I mean? Of like Nintendo being like, listen, You have the rights.
Nintendo.
We want nothing to do with it. You go do your own thing. And they're like, cool, we're going to interpret this how we interpret it. And like, when it, you know, they got to the...
Something that's why they're so strict right now.
Probably, right? But when they got over it, when they got over the Koopa Land, and there was like Bullet Bill stuff in the background and like a bunch of... I was like, oh man, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that level of reference to it or whatever. And so then Toad and all these other little things, they dropped in there and the Mushroom King. I don't know why you're putting Mario in green and Luigi in red for the majority of the film, but it's like, again, there's a lot of things in there. Like, we're going to turn it on its head. We're going to turn it on its head, but it should have been turned off.
Plus, my opening question isn't what did you think? Mm-hmm. It's what did you think of Big Bertha?
I was in awe.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to think. Like, I had seen this movie when I was a kid, apparently quite a few times, because I was surprised how many moments in this watch through that I recalled. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, Bob Omen's about to drop, isn't it? And it drops. I'm like, how the fuck did I know
that? Mortal Kombat effect.
Yeah.
Watching it so much as a kid.
Apparently, I watched it as a kid and just blocked it out of my brain. That said, right? Like, what a weird, insane fever dream of a movie that is adapting a thing, but also, yeah, I think it being the first video game adaptation to a movie just took all the liberties in the world because, and I, to some extent, I understand it, right? Like, you play the old Mario games, and you're like, how are we supposed to turn this into a narrative? So I get why they filled in all the blanks with the weird shit that they filled it in with. But yeah, watching it in 2023, such a weird experience, such a bad movie, but I had such a good time watching it. Like, I'm more on the Tim side with this.
Hell
where
yeah.
I had a blast the whole time, and I think half of it is nostalgia, and then the other half of it is there's so many moments in the movie where I just couldn't look away because of what's happening. Like, why are we in a city that is filled with fungi? Like, I get the Mushroom Kingdom or whatever, but like, it looked like the way it looks on screen, it looks gross.
It looks like the alien skin.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
And it's like, why did you go this direction with it? But that said, right, I enjoyed the idea of this fungus that's literally all around the Mushroom Kingdom. That's literally Daisy's dad.
It is the king.
That is the king that is helping Mario and Luigi on their adventure. It's like, how did you think of this?
When,
like,
he reveals himself at the end, he's like, ah. So like, what?
It was Rice Krispie treats in his hand that were all spread out. Oh, that was their idea of like, that'll look like fungus, but like fungus is coming back. And it's like, what the fuck?
It worked for me.
Such an insane movie. I enjoy the character of Luigi a lot. Like, he was the heart of this film to me. I dug his dynamic with Daisy. I don't know why they went with Daisy. Like, watching this movie, I literally had to be like, wasn't Daisy, like, Daisy's a character now, right? We love Daisy. But, like, she was just in Super Mario Land, and that's it.
Timing-wise, though, like, that's the thing. This is clearly based off of Mario World and Mario Land, a weird amalgamation of just, like, let's just jump with what the plot is for the Game Boy game and the Super Nintendo game and go for it. So, yeah, yep. Daisy's the princess.
And I was talking to a friend. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I was telling them about how I watched the Mario movie, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, so it was Daisy, yeah. And I'm talking about, like, oh, yeah, in the movie, Mario and Mario's wife, a partner gets kidnapped or whatever, and she's like, oh, is it Peach? And I'm like, no, it's just a lady. It's just some woman.
The mayor.
Yeah.
I looked at the mayor.
And so, yeah, like, I had such a fun time with this movie. It's a bad movie, but it's a bad movie I would watch again. Like, I don't know. There's something about it that watching it this time through the nostalgia lens, seeing all the weird decisions, it feels like a piece of history that I appreciate in that way. And I appreciate it for how goofy it is. And I do think it's entertaining. I think that is the one thing that I will give this movie is that I find it to be a fun watch, even though there's so many bad decisions made as like a work of art, right? As a film, it is bad. As a, hey, let's put this on a Saturday night, I don't mind it.
And before we get to you, Nick, real quick, I just want to jump off what Bless is saying. Like, something that I really appreciate about this and it working as like the worst Mario movie ever fucking conceivable, but also it's like it was the first video game movie and it is a 1993 movie. Alan Silvestri doing the score, it has that Roger Rabbit vibe, Back to the Future, all that stuff. And like the one thing I want to shout out is the police car design.
Yeah, the Mad Max style police car design.
It is so weirdly unique to this movie of like, what a weird decision.
Also,
but
why,
like,
are there cops in the...
But there is though. And they commit to it in a way where I'm like, I love how many unique decisions are made of like, they designed things for this movie that are so not Mario and so not anything else. The one thing they are is an early 90s movie. And it just is like, holy shit.
Well, that's the problem with the movie. Like, I feel like you watch it, I watch it, I'm like, I'd rather watch Demolition Man. You know what I mean? Like, that's because it's from that.
It's weird to think those two movies kind of came out actually, what, the same year? When was Demolition Man? 94, 93?
I get a lot of Ninja Turtles vibes from this movie.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And, you know,
it's a product.
I'm going to be real. I'm going to say this is where I might cross the line for a lot of people. I think this is as good as the 1990s Ninja Turtle movie.
Tim.
Nick, go for it.
I would agree. I actually really, really enjoyed going back and watching this movie. I think I enjoyed watching this movie more than I did when I walked out of the theater.
Cry.
When I was a 13-year-old kid, because I think part of me just obviously, I think you touched on it, right? It's the nostalgia for that era. It's the, wow, this is a Captain America movie. And it's like a no-name actor back in the day that was just randomly, it was the same shot of him throwing the shield. You go back and look at it now and it's all very quaint and it's interesting looking at that time capsule. But I think there's actually some very interesting stuff in this movie. I think the brutalistic production design is wild that they chose to go with that. You don't see shit like that.
Chris Pratt's calling it.
Pretty much anymore. And I actually really think that Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo had great chemistry together.
I'll agree with that.
I think those two, and I'm going to say this, are more fun to watch than they were in the animated movie because they just didn't share a lot of screen time together in the animated movie. I think they could have gotten there, but really they're there in the beginning, they're there at the end, but they don't have any adventures together. And I think they made a really smart choice in making sort of Luigi's character sort of the main character in this. He gets the love interest. He gets to have the adventures with Daisy. Mario's just sort of there as like a mentor character, which I thought is kind of fun. What I keep coming back to is this movie reminds me of when all of those, like the Power Rangers movie came out and everyone's like, oh, or like the original movies are coming out. And then someone was like, I think it was Adi Shankar was like, what if we reimagine this as like a dark, gritty YouTube trailer and put that thing out? That's what this reminds me of. And it's so hard not to look at that and be like, what a fascinating bizarro land world that this movie was in, except that it actually got made and actually got released in theaters.
Yeah.
I think the movie is a perfect example of Hollywood going, sit in your place, video games, we got it.
Yeah.
And having someone go, no, you guys don't understand, this is for kids, and this is a cute character, a very beloved character that helps sell all these systems. And they were like, cool, we get it. Two plumbers fight dinosaurs. We got it. Cocaine, let's get this thing done right now. And for that, you have to just sit and watch in awe of what this movie became, because it's a wild, wild fever dream, which I would actually argue was more of a nightmare than a dream. And it exists.
It does exist. We're going to get into the plot written by Nick Scarpino in just a second. But before we do that, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free. But for everyone else, here's an ad. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kind of Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
Plot. Tim, this is a first for me. Okay. Because I actually want to start with the podcast within a podcast before we even start.
Whoa.
The song. Okay. You mentioned something very, very important earlier today, and I'm glad you touched on it. You mentioned the original Ninja Turtles movie. What you didn't mention was Secret of the Ooze, which had a banger of a Vanilla Ice theme song in it.
Yes.
Can that song beat Open the Door, Get on the Floor, Everybody
Do the Dinosaur.
Everybody Nick, the Dinosaur.
Let me tell you
that's
a story.
Not an original song for this movie, though.
But it was in the movie.
Just making sure I wasn't wrong.
I thought they made this for this movie.
No, I don't know about that.
So no.
But if that was true, I fucking goddamn, I would be
would that floored
because I've heard that song so many times.
I learned it from this movie, and I loved it so much that thanks to the 1992 classic Home Alone 2: Lost in New York, where he gets the talk boy.
Yeah,
every kid in America got a talk boy for Christmas. We all were recording our favorite songs and whatever. I recorded this dinosaur song because I loved it so much. from the movie.
Yeah.
And I would just listen to it with the dialogue of Mario Luigi. This is the best song ever y'all. And
this is a Walk the Dinosaur is a song by from their 1987 album.
Okay. So not made for this. But used perfectly in this. Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open on the theme from the video game. Not even really redone. They just took it straight from the NES cartridge.
Yeah, crush it.
They were like, Tim, how'd you record that song? We'll just record the video game.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's what it feels like, right? And they were like, a long time ago, the Earth is ruled by dinosaurs, 8-bit dinosaurs.
Yeah, they're showing this 8-bit thing. Real video game.
Yeah, life was good.
Horrible. I hate this shit so much, this animated. The worst animation ever recorded in a motion picture, this.
But what if, Tim,
mm-hmm.
those dinosaurs weren't killed by that meteorite? Yeah. What if that meteorite caused a parallel dimension to rift and break apart and form underneath our Earth with the help of that really cool water effect from Mario 64? You know, that they were like, this is all we can do. There was like one company that did that effect, and they were like, we're going to be around forever.
I need y'all to know right now, real quick, that we see this. And I watched the movie. It was me, it was Cool Greg, and it was Gia. Gia was introduced to the Mario world last week with the animated movie, Super Mario Brothers, the Super Mario Brothers movie. She watched this, had the time that she had. My brother, who grew up watching it with us, but not as ingrained as we are, but is also Cool Greg. So you guys understand what that means.
Yeah.
The moment that this animated thing pops up and it says Brooklyn 65 million years ago, Cool Greg, louder than I've ever heard him, goes, holy shit! Just fucking in!
100%.
I just really quickly want to say, you guys are crazy. This movie is amazing. Fucking amazing. 10 out of 10 movie.
Brooklyn, we cut over to 20 years ago, and who's Daisy's mom? Do we ever establish this?
So that's the
is that
thing.
Peach?
Is Daisy's mom Daisy? Is it the same actress?
Well, I think they used the same actress.
I love that.
So that you could see that it was her mom. There was a relation, but I don't think it's not the same character.
No, it's supposed to be her mom. That's very, very weird. Why'd they use the same actress?
I mean, dinosaur cloning, Jurassic Park. She drops off an egg at the monastery with the crystal stone, like the little crystal shard, meteorite shard wrapped around it. Her mom heads back into the sewers to hang out with the Ninja Turtles, presumably. God damn, the 90s were fucking awesome. And then Koopa finds her and wants the rock back. But up at the church, Princess Daisy hatches, and the nuns cross themselves. Brooklyn, now. We're back, baby.
I love that Nick just said that, and none of us even reacted.
No.
Princess Daisy hatches.
Yep. The implication is when Daisy has a baby in the future, is she going to lay an egg?
Yeah.
But, like, guys, we're not even asking the real important question here. We saw her mom, human. We see her dad.
Human.
Lance
human
Hendrix?
Slash mushroom, right?
But he wasn't but he got de-evolved into a mushroom is what you're saying? So he's from the mushroom bloodline?
If they had sex and had a baby.
Yeah.
Dinosaur egg?
that looks like a human. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But they're not humans. They're like they've evolved from dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, but that's what that's what he just caught me on, right? Is that since the dad got de-evolved, he de-evolved into a mushroom, meaning that he actually evolved from a mushroom.
Well, no, I think if you go farther back,
we were all single-cell organisms.
Yeah,
right?
You go back and you hit mushrooms eventually.
So even the dinosaurs go
even
back.
Even the dinosaurs go
so
back.
So even the dinosaurs
Secret of the Ooze, Greg. Secret of the Ooze.
I think we all here need to understand that they didn't know what they were filming the day that they showed up to set. So why are we putting this much thought into the lore?
Listen, I mean, if they all evolved from the dinosaur bloodline, then yeah, they still lay eggs. Big deal. Yeah.
We cut over to Brooklyn right now. The Mario Brothers plumbing get a call, and it's that moment when I remember their last name is Mario as well. Love it. I was like, surely they don't have the balls to actually broach that topic in this movie. Oh, they do.
See what I mean? What I'm saying is they got a lot right here.
I mean, there was nothing, tell you what, as a kid, there was nothing cooler than knowing that piece of knowledge and being like, his name is Luigi Mario. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I'm a video game fan. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
What do you know Mario's last name?
You're a 90s movie fan. Mm-hmm. And another thing I want to point out, in no Mario video game, there's been hundreds, maybe a No, not a thousand, but there's been hundreds of Mario-related games. The idea of him being from Brooklyn has never been explored in a single video game. Like, we know this idea of, like, oh, they get sucked in, whatever, because of this movie and the movie that just came out last week.
And the Super Show, right?
Oh, I guess and the Super Show.
That's where I knew it from.
Yeah. So it's not the video games. Like, a lot of the Mario lore is actually not game exclusive.
It's interesting.
Also, hundreds of Mario games?
Yeah,
100?
Like, maybe like
50. Including spinoffs.
I'd say 50.
I would say
100.
There's at least Mario Party. Yeah, there's definitely 100.
There's like at least 10 per console.
Oh, also the carts in the parties. The carts in the parties.
Yeah.
And I'm saying in none of
them. I'm not fact checking you. I was with you.
When he said hundreds, I was like, I'm going to fact check you. But
like you're including like the Mike Tyson's punch out that he's been.
Yeah, any game Mario's in does not deal with his Brooklyn Orange.
Again, I don't give a shit about that. I'm talking about the number of Mario. You know what I mean?
Mario Bloodlines.
Mario's missing.
We get a little more setup here where Luigi's watching an episode of Miraculous World about Mario a dude who thinks he saw a different dimension. Also, there's a news headline on the newspaper talking about a bunch of Brooklyn girls who have gone missing. And this is where we first established the main theme of this movie. And I'll tell you, Andy, it's a strong theme. It's a masculine theme. It's a great theme. You just got to believe, Tim.
You just got to believe.
Just have faith. Mario. Just believe.
Yo, shout out to John Leguizamo. This movie made me fall in love with him. I will follow him to the ends of the earth. Anything he is in, I'm willing to watch because he is in it. And it's because of this movie. So charismatic.
But he's also the reason why the right was calling the new Super Mario movie anti-woke. Because he was like... They didn't hire any Italians, so I'm not going to be in it.
You know, he didn't say Italians.
What did he say?
Latino. He was pushing that like he was breaking grounds in the '93 movie.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I don't think he's Italian.
He's not.
I don't think Bob Hoskins is Italian either.
It's always been claimed that John Leguizamo was Latino. I always thought he was actually Italian.
No, I think he's. His last name's Leguizamo. I guess that could be Italian. I guess that could be Italian.
He has a bunch of stand up in Spanish too. Like he speaks. His stand-up has a lot of Spanish.
I thought a lot of people kind of like did the whole. Remember that one comedian who was stealing a lot of comedy, and
Carlos Mencia.
And it found out that
his real name is Ned.
Yeah, he was actually like that wasn't his real.
I thought that happened
with John Leguizamo.
I think John Leguizamo was.
Carlos Mencia is. He's not Carlos Mencia.
No, his real name's Ned.
This
can't be true.
He's Latino.
I think he is Latino, but he chose a stage name that was more leaning toward that. So he could.
Okay.
He could kind of.
He could probably.
Hold on. We need to hear Andy weigh in here.
He was born in Bogota, Colombia.
Andy is a representative of the LWO, is making the final decision.
Mm-hmm. Puerto Rican, Colombian. I'm seeing a lot of Puerto Rican in Colombia. Okay. You get the pass. But I guess it was weird. They're like, why is...
But imagine if I full stopped the show and I was like, I don't think he's Latino. I think he's Italian.
So that's why I'm confused.
This is the best case scenario.
That's why I'm confused. He's like fighting for Latino representation when Mario and Luigi aren't Latino.
I'll tell you what.
He was saying that he like...
They got
like,
fucking...
His point was like, he was ahead of the game of like, hey, none of this shit fucking matters. Like... Diversity matters, and in the 90s they got it right. Why are they fucking it up now? And then everyone's like, "Yeah, but Anna Taylor-Joy is
girl boss,
Argentinian.
Is Argentinian?
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. But I wasn't sure.
Did you see the interviews with her?
A lot of Italian.
Yeah, incredible.
She could have some Italian blood.
Maybe
it's very true.
Maybe
I'm not even kidding. There's a lot of Italians in Argentina.
A lot of Germans.
I'll tell you this though: the more important thing to talk about is if you want to talk about being historically accurate, and you mentioned that this movie, a lot of canon came from this, the Mario, all that stuff. In this scene, and this scene only, John Leguizamo refers to his brother as Mario, which is the Brooklyn correct pronunciation of Mario.
Fuck yourself.
And I've been saying this for fucking years, everyone. All right, get on the right side of history.
I mean, it's the most inaccurate this movie is.
Mario is the name of this character from now on. Anyway, they go to their job, but they missed out on something. The van says KL5-3089, Tim. I assume that is a reference to the 1989 Batman. Okay.
I just really, really quick, just to kind of go against Nick and
whose race are you going to decide now?
No, there's a. I remember listening to an episode of The Besties, where Besties is a video game podcast, and Russ Frushtick mentioned that he was saying Mario in front of Miyamoto. Mm-hmm. And Miyamoto's like, why are you saying Mario? It's not Mario, it's Mario. Like, Miyamoto corrected him. So go fuck yourself.
Kind of culturally insensitive.
But again, like, this goes back to the fact that like the whole Brooklyn narrative of
Brooklyn
Mario only comes from the instruction manual of Super Mario Brothers 1. Like otherwise, we all know this. What do we know about Mario?
He's a plumber.
He's got a brother. He fights a donkey sometimes. No.
Swing and a miss.
I told you this is going to be a good interview.
Swing and a miss.
He fights a donkey.
Just clip that.
Two truths and a lie.
Just clip that out. Fucking shit.
Fucking get better than that. Please continue, Nick.
Of course, when they get to the job, Scapelli, that Scapelli guy, beat him over to the job. Scapelli, of course, is a mob boss character who has a contractor and all that jazz. Meanwhile, Anthony Scapelli, head contractor of Scapelli Inc., is trying to shut down a dig site led by Daisy, who is played by Samantha Mathis, who I always say my touchstone for her is Pump Up the Volume. I loved her in that movie. And she was also in Broken Arrow, which is a movie that comes a block in. That's right.
Our Conversations.
Yeah.
A lot.
John Travolta, Christian Slater, never forget.
Great, never forget.
I went and saw that in theater. I was super stoked for
it. Can I blow your mind right now?
Yeah, please.
The theme used in Broken Arrow is Dewey's theme from Scream. They just took it and used it for that.
I remember. Bow, 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 bow,
bow, nice. Bow, bow, did you not know that?
No.
Oh, I wish you were part of Scream interview, baby.
I was going to say Broken Arrow had Rob Zombie's. Remember like every 90s song?
Dragula?
Was that the name of the song?
More Human Than Human.
Yeah, more human than human.
Dragula was dig through the ditches and burn through the bridges and
fly. Every video.
Let's see. Scapelli's mob boss, and he's like, I'm going to shut you guys down.
You know, I don't know, every morning I start my drive with American Badass, and I do it because Undertaker, and I know how bad it is. And you know that movie, that song's 4.5 minutes long. Like, Kid Rock, why is there so many verses?
So she's like, I'm gonna go to the university and call them for help. I think she wants some security there late at night, but they're not gonna give her any security. Meanwhile,
like,
over
it'd be a shame.
On,
a lot of women are going missing. Be ashamed. You're like, what the fuck?
You're like,
bro?
Look, what's funny about that? I mean, horrible. But what's funny about it is like, these Hollywood execs were like, we got to make a Mario movie. What's the plot of Mario? The princess gets captured. How do we translate that to like a movie?
Women are going Brooklyn. Across Brooklyn.
Women are
kidnapped.
Just getting abducted.
I will say this. The movie's absurd, obviously. It's not a great film. But there's a lot of setup here that gets paid off at the end of this movie.
It does.
You know, and I'll say this, and this is going to be a bold statement.
Oh, God.
There's more plot in this movie than there was in the anime.
That's
movie.
Not even a question.
And way more plot.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'd They're rather.
Facts made here. I'm with everyone here.
Very true. Over on the other side of town, though, two of Koopa's goons, including Eugene from Hackers and one of the guys that parks the car in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, yes. are just here.
I want you to know, Jen is like, is that the bad guy from Hackers? And I'm like, yep. I've never watched Hackers. That's I know him as the guy who went brown-faced
yep.
for Short Circuit.
For Short Circuit. I chose the lighter side of that card, but yeah.
Well, then we got then like, she looked him up after the literally. Show. She's like, it was. And she's like, oh, he's also in Succession, which we watch every week. I'm like, yes, he is. We should have said that.
Yeah, Fisher Stevens is his name.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's him from Succession?
Wait, who?
The Koopa, the guy who's like Lenny. One of the smarmy Koopa guys in this movie. He's the guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My yeah. God!
Iggy was Fisher Stevens was really really big in the 90s. He did a lot of like weird shit like that.
I am.
This is crazy.
I'm shocked.
But think about everything you know, and every time I see him in Succession, I'm like, oh, it's the brown face guy from Short Circuit. Johnny Five.
So much bad things here.
Oh wow.
That's him. To be fair, also that just to say, I think Fisher Stevens has since been like, yes, that was a very very.
Oh yeah, no.
We're not supporting the guy, but Fisher Stevens.
Fisher
has come out. And been like, hey, looking back, that was a very terrible.
Everyone's like that, yeah. And it's like you know, the 80s was a really racist time. Nobody knew. You know,
just clarifying that for everyone. Not like Fisher Stevens is walking around being like, that was the best role I ever had.
He's like, listen, fuck you, woke people. Let's do Short Circuit 3. Put me back in the role I deserve.
Holy what a fucking shit. Movie this movie was. I want to give a shout out to the other guy too, who is in a bunch of stuff. He's always this weird ass character. I forget what else he was in. I looked it up, I forgot, but I remember him being one of the two guys that's like, hey man, we're professionals. Parking Ferris Bueller's dad's Ferrari and Ferris Bueller's dad's like, just hilarious. Anyway, these guys are like they're tasked with kidnapping Daisy. For some other reason, they choose to kidnap the other women. Because I guess they're idiots and think that Daisy's in disguise.
Well, no.
That's all it is.
Well, I thought that they were just, I mean, based on what they were told to look for, they were just told to look for a woman with legs and arms, right? Like, that's what the description
is. Remember, all mammals are weird to them.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, that's got to be her. She's got legs and arms.
It's like if somebody asked us to kidnap a specific monkey, be like, they all look the same.
It'd be tough.
Yeah.
Peach, of
Except
course.
The one in this movie. You got the teeth.
Bad teeth.
Yeah.
Poor little guy.
They look like humans, you know?
Poor little guy.
Well, it's hard to eat. It's hard to eat hard stuff with the front teeth.
Sure, even a banana's gonna get stuck in the middle there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You get it. You know, these guys don't get it.
Perfect Chomper.
They haven't hit 40 yet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Peach, of course, has to use the phone. Luigi gives up a potential massive job. I'm sorry, Daisy. I wrote Peach in here before I realized it was Daisy. I was on a plane. I couldn't look it up. They don't say her name for a little while. And then until this point where she goes, I'm Daisy. And Luigi's, of course, he's struck by her.
I love flowers. I don't hang out at the flower shop.
Luigi completely fumbles the rock, but it's his cute, but it's cute. And Mario steps in to offer her a ride and prove that the shorter brother is usually the better brother. For reference, I am the shorter brother.
Oh.
They head back over to the dig site with some prodding and coaching from Mario. Luigi must have the courage to ask Daisy out. And then we just cut right to the dinner. I was like, oh, surely they're never going to get to this dinner because action will ensue. Oh, no, it's tonight. There you go. Daisy's there, and as is Daniela, who is Mario's girlfriend. Very Italian.
You so see
Italian.
This and you're like, no.
I mean, look it. The man is charming.
He is.
And I'm I'm tired of your Tali agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. Short kings deserve love too.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Tell him, Nick. Tell him real
she
good.
She loved him for his charm and for his ability to use his tools in the right way.
My cousin Vinny, like, Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei.
I definitely looked at him at the table and I was like, oh, Nicky D. Way. It's the Scarpinos.
Oh my God.
These are us. Yeah.
I love it.
She gives a backstory here about they discovered this piece of the meteor, this meridian. This may have been the rock that destroyed the original dinosaurs. This is where I wish I was sitting next to Kevin, because we passed by this rock and it's not very big. And I'm like, well, I guess that could. I mean, I don't know anything about meteorites. How fast is this thing traveling? Probably 80 miles an hour or whatever. Is this? Oh, that's not Kev.
Thank you.
But I always thought the thing was like the size of Texas.
I think it was really big.
Yeah. Really anyway, big. This thing's tiny. But also, they didn't have the budget.
Isn't it weird, Kevin, that nobody's ever found it? Kind of like Noah's Ark. Think about it.
No, there's a lot of theories that it's the Gulf of Mexico. Like, there's like crater impact there.
What about the Shroud of Turin?
Wow, if only we had a submarine to check on it.
Yeah, exactly. Get down there. Also,
someone pick up that San Pellegrino, please.
Oh, I'd love that, actually.
Daisy
tells him that she grew up at St. Teresa. She was abandoned. Louise is like, oh, my God, I was abandoned, too. I didn't have parents. Mario had to raise me. Outside, I'm quoting him.
Yeah,
sure. Outside, Spike and Eugene from Hackers spot Daisy wearing a disguise, but it's really Daniela. They are idiots, and I imagine this is what Snowbike Mike would be like if we tasked him to kidnap someone.
Is this the scene where they start running, and it's like, it's such a 90s movie if, like, there's literally, like, a glass being walked by and they, like, run into it.
And they bang into it.
What?
What a vibe. On the walk home, Daisy offers to show Luigi the dig site, and then Spike and Eugene.
Hot.
You know what, guys?
Let's go.
I wrote it differently. I chose the higher ground, okay? I chose the higher ground on this one. Thank you.
Because we're taller, Nick.
I mean, we see.
What does Matthew Hidalgo mean? If only we didn't have hurricanes and rough waters in the Gulf. You're telling me at all hours of the day, every day, 365, there are hurricanes and rough waters, so you can't go check on a meteorite that might be the one that killed the dinosaurs?
Yeah, what if it had fucking...
Black Panther stuff.
I kept holding this up, and I confused myself with adamantium, but I couldn't remember. Vibranium.
We both jumped out of the plane on that one, and then just looked at each other. Did you bring the parachute? I didn't bring the parachute.
Let's see. Daisy tells Luigi that Scapelli and his crew were blasting down here when they found some of the bones of these new species that are half dino, half human. Daisy and Luigi also make out a little bit. But Scapelli's men, oh my God, they want to flood it. How do they do that? Of course. And again, this movie might just be genius. Because they have to flood a dig site. How do you do that? By opening up a valve. Who would you call, Andy, to save you from this? And Luigi's like, I know exactly what to do. They run all the way back. What does this say?
Do it again so Nick can see. When you meteor that killed the dinosaur, you hit Google, and then a little one comes by and it shakes the screen when it hits. I'm like,
that's cool.
Man, Google's doing great work.
That's cute.
They, of course, run back, and they grab Mario, He grabs his tools off of his mirror. He's like, let's fucking go. Let's get ready to rock. Actually, I think he says,
I think you said a quote.
Strap your belt on, kid. We're going in. Nothing from you on that one? Okay.
I love how passionate Mario is about fixing shit.
He loves plumbing. And he loves teaching Luigi how to plumb.
He loves laying pipe.
Exactly.
Reminds me of Kevin, honestly.
It's very true. Kevin would have been a great plumber. Mm. Kevin would have, because you know why? Because Kevin could do the thing where he's like the overworked, pride, like proud complaining. He's like, oh, hard day, a lot of hard work in there.
I work hard. But we got it done. Sometimes, to let it out, Nick.
You got to let it out. Kevin be smoking a Newport cigarette.
Sweaty.
We had a lot of jobs today. Me and my brother Mario. A
lot of wrenches.
A lot of damn it, I couldn't think of one other fucking tool. A lot of plungers. Anyway, well, Mario and Luigi fix the leak. Spike and Eugene sneak up on him and hit him over the head, and they take Daisy. Mary and Luigi follow her screams into the depths of the underground, where we spot the ripple from the N64 Mario.
Which is wild, because this was before the N64 Mario came out.
It is.
This is where they got the idea.
Yeah. It was that effect. That was the one effect they could do.
Yeah, the painting like ripple. I mean, there is a part in Mario 64 where there's a wall that ripples, and it looks exactly the way it looks in the movie, which is kind of insane.
Of course, Luigi just takes a leap of faith. Once again, the theme, you just got to believe. Mario was like, okay. And so they get sucked in, and man, it's like, it's just a bad green screen effect. But for the time, pretty awesome.
They're spinning 360.
I mean, I think all the budget went towards making Dennis Hopper's tongue do that lizard tongue. That looked pretty good.
Practical.
Pretty good, really.
Mm, wow. You can do that.
I'll say this again.
Surgical attachment.
To give the movie a little props, they get sucked in and they're in the meteorite room and they just run right past it. Nothing's called to it. And you're like, oh, that's the meteorite. And it has this cool like LED like light around it. A pretty cool little set. You could tell that if they had a real budget for this.
They did, Nick.
So it was 110 miles across the meteor that hit.
Okay, so that's bigger than this Honda-sized meteor that's sitting in
the room. To me like Matthew Hidalgo could fucking get together a sub on one of the clear days and go take a peek.
I mean, fairly, he could probably swim out there and take a look. This is 118 miles long. But maybe you're missing the point that Matthew Hidalgo never learned how to swim.
I was going
to
say he's kind of a coward like Truman, right? Where he's just oh, it's a little rainy. I can't go in the water. Exactly. Damn, Matthew Hidalgo.
Is your point that the meteor didn't kill the dinosaurs? What's your final point?
My point is somebody should get down there and find it and look at it and send me some photos. You know what I mean?
I want you to know, Blessing, that you're working for a flat earther. I just want you to know.
I'm working with a fellow flat earther. Let's go. Let's go. There's no
Freeze company. You know what I'm talking about? Let's go. Andy, get off your fucking bubble.
All day long, you lived. All the world's round. We're killing it.
TVs are flat. Let's see.
TVs are flat. Why not the earth?
Exactly, guys. I don't remember they walk back in, and man, this is the level. This is a weird pull, but stick with me. The underground civilization in Demolition Man, this is exactly what this looks like.
Yep.
And I think to myself, when I was a kid, I remember watching this being like, don't remember this level in Mario. This weird post-apocalyptic Terminator 2 tank girl style level in this with
world 1.2, Nick?
Of the
dash
fungus. Like, the fungus is the most off-putting thing here because it looks like snake skin, which I assume they were like, yeah, it's gonna look like snake skin. Of course they're fighting. But by the way, dinosaurs and snakes, a lot of that imagery in this. Also,
it looks like
we're gonna get into
Jeff Goldblum's a fly. It's such
off-putting.
A gross effect.
It's very gross. We're also gonna get into the fact that there's a lot of bondage and S&M undertones in this movie.
Oh, for
God bless him for that. God bless him for that.
So strap
gotta
on your
something
boots.
To look at, you know. It's Big Bertha.
Yeah.
Then we get the first of a series of banger lines that were probably said through a whiskey haze. This can't be Manhattan. Where is this place? I don't know. I haven't been to Manhattan in a couple weeks. Must have been a bad couple of weeks.
That's good.
I like that line.
Good writing right there.
Yeah. I quote
it's hot
a lot
off the
of
80s New York, man. They know what's up.
And then he says, "I got a feeling we're not in Brooklyn no more." Of course, it's a reference to
Wizard of Oz.
Thank you.
Plus, you didn't know. Did you?
I knew. I couldn't think of the name for Wizard of Oz.
He nods and like, points at Greg, like, "Of course."
I thought Bless was going to go the movie The Wizard.
Greg will take this one. Too easy for me. Too easy for me.
I was going to say Wicked. I was like, "That's not the Wizard."
Up in the tower.
Real quick, you said The Wizard. The Wizard, like the other Mario movie from this time period, and me, my brother, and Gia watched that recently, like a couple months ago. And I will say, this is a much better movie than The Wizard.
Really?
I think
the Fred Savage
wrong.
Classic?
Yeah.
Wow.
But he says, "Let's keep our power gloves to ourselves." That's a great line.
There's great lines in it. There's great moments. But like overall, like rewatching this, I was like, I get that it's a bad movie, but it's fun. The Wizard, I was like, oh man, there's like maybe 5 minutes of fun in this.
Up
I
in the
think
tower.
This is the nostalgia working for you all a little too much. I'm just going to say it right here. I think the nostalgia of you
be
all
brave.
Being kids. What, like, I think if I would have liked it a lot more as a kid, I'd be on the same page as you all.
No,
but I was a smart kid.
Well,
damn right.
Wow, okay.
Can we switch to this one, by the way? Because Nick looks so much smaller than Greg in this. Like, when Greg was sitting up, he just looks so tiny. What? There we go.
That's a pretty big height difference.
That's because, I mean, look at how high his chair is. Drop
like
your chair a little bit.
Drop there, your huh? chair,
yeah,
Snow Michael.
I'm literally as low as
I don't think
go.
He can go
I'm
lower.
As low as I can go.
Oh, it's true.
Sure you are.
See, when you go up, what gives it away is your tiny head. Like, you know what I mean? Everything's proportionate for both of us. That's why right now, if somebody wants to cut them out and put them together, and I'll put my hand here, it looks like you're my little dummy, and I'm the ventriloquist.
Oh, you got your hand up my
Yeah. Up your scrotum?
Nope, not going to get me to say that today.
I don't think this is how you're supposed to I'm working the scrotum.
That's weird.
Let me in. Where's the entrance?
It's making my mouth move.
Pull the urethra that's wider.
Sure. Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
He went from a Coke to a Corona.
This man has a drive home still ahead of
him. Call it Corona.
Up in the towers, Cooper reveals his plan to take over the dimensions above. When he gets the rock, and the princess can merge the two worlds and then kill all the mammals. Again, more plot in this movie. This plot, at least, is more fleshed out than Bowser in the new animated movie. But the idiots forgot the rock, so Koopa puts out an APB for all plumbers. An old lady robs Mario and Luigi. Didn't see this one coming. Love this.
Sets the stakes for Koopa City of how crazy it is now.
It really does. Koopa City, not so much a city, more a warehouse. And that... is one of the. That's the only disappointing fact of this is that it just the movie feels.
Remember when he spins the
so
globe?
So small because they keep coming back to the same
like,
set.
He spins the globe. He's like four streets and endless desert. That's like the planet.
But it's interesting because you look at other movies that were made before this, like a Back to the Future, right? And they had a reason to keep it all in the square. But yeah, even yeah. that like felt that action felt so much bigger than this. This really does feel like they're like. We have a warehouse.
But they
we're going to build this out.
Like I give him credit for like being like, "Yo, we it's see, this the question, and then desert, and we see them in the desert."
It is true. It is true. Let's see, and then this is where they get the stone stolen from them by Big Bertha, who has the thwomp boots, and they were like, "Again, Mario jumps. How does he jump? I don't know. Let's have this cool mechanized boot." That seems very difficult and long-winded to use, but we're going to do it anyway.
But again, this goes back to what you were saying and Andy was saying in different ways. Nick, you were saying this movie is just the like mid-2000s answer of like, let's make a YouTube fan film that's like a dark, gritty, Christopher Nolan-esque yeah. take on something we love, Power Rangers and all that stuff.
Right.
And they did that with this. And to your point, it's nostalgia speaking and all that. It is. Like watching this movie, I'm like, yo, is this great? Absolutely not. I'm having so much fun because when I was little, there was a magic to playing Mario and being like, oh, he jumps and he jumps high and there's double jumps and what the fuck, all this stuff. And like, oh, translating it to real life. There's a dystopian future. The Mushroom Kingdom is darker and scarier than you think. And they need these special jump shoes. That was cool.
They gotta have the
fuck, man.
Don't let them get in your head. Don't let them get in your head.
I'm not. I'm with you, Kev.
Aren't the jump shoes in Super Mario 3?
No. Karibo's,
you about the
Karibo's
boot
is
yeah.
Boot.
Yeah,
that's very different than what
Come
they're doing
on.
In this. But
no. That's the same thing.
Same thing.
The boot is definitely based
it really
off.
Is
the
it.
Boot.
It really
you guys
is
are
it.
Ridiculous.
I'm kind of with you though. That when they I forgot about the jump boots when they introduced that here, I was like, that's a pretty neat way to like interpret the game into that into an actual movie, right? And as a kid, I'm sure when I was watching it, I was like. Trying to apply all the things that I'm seeing in the movie to the world of the game, right? Oh man,
totally
alternate dinosaur universe where dinosaurs evolved into humans. Oh, I can see how that fits in Super Mario. Like again, weird shit, but I kind of dig it in the weird fan fiction-y sort of way.
Shout out to Chris Anga who put in the live chat, Greg, check your phone, and I check my phone, and he did this. Now,
Chris,
there's no. This is the more looks like I've beheaded Nick, and I'm a ventriloquist going through his scrotum. You know what I mean? Either way, I appreciate the
try harder, there. Chris Anka. He wants to go through the scrotum.
Chris knows exactly what we deserve.
Chris, here's
was,
the thing.
That
I'm
was
gonna
the
say.
Level of energy.
Here's the thing I'm going to say. Chris Anka, talented artist. We've all seen it before.
Mm-hmm. Super talented.
He does a lot of not for safe for work shit that you can find on the internet, and it's hot, right? Chris, I just gave you the perfect opening for to draw me and Nick, me going through the scrotum. Maybe pulling the urethra open. Where's that fan art? All
looking
right.
In it? Looking in it?
Damn, man.
Not why. Oh, I'm doing it. I'm stuffing the cables in Yoshi. Oh. I'm stuffing the cables in
Yoshi. Nine men,
one Yoshi, a lot of cables.
A lot of cables. Back to the movie, Toad sings them an anti-Koopa song because he's a punk rocker and everyone gets arrested. Weird. Daisy gets thrown into prison and spots Daniela along with a bunch of the other Italian girls from Brooklyn that had also gotten kidnapped. Mario and Luigi get booked, and we are treated to just a weird asked like who's on first with the Mario last name, and then they get their pictures taken, and it's hyper violent for some reason. Yeah. Very stylized, but that's
they were using real lasers too. I was like, damn man, those that'll fuck your eye up.
Oh, Pop House couldn't see after this.
I mean, fucking broke his leg.
Then they
man was a shell of himself after this movie.
They come back from Nom.
Toad tells them the plot of the movie, finally see their lawyer, who is Koopa. Koopa applies them for information on the meteorite piece that they're missing, and then he orders them taken to the Devo chamber, and I, of course, assume that that's just where Whippet plays over, over and over again.
Din, din, din,
din. Everybody sleep!
Toad screams about the old king, who is everywhere, and he's devolved back into a simple Goomba. And man, let me tell you, Tim, these Goombas are the stuff of nightmares.
Dude.
It's so strange that they went with this.
Being a 5-year-old kid watching this movie might be the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Like being introduced to Toad, the harmonica, all that stuff, him then in the prison cell, cages of all of them together, to then being taken and de-evolved in this, like, fuck this shit.
Terrifying.
Dude, I have nightmares to this day about this moment, and they just did that to Toad.
Toad is like shouting like propaganda stuff, right? As he's being de-evolved.
Yep.
It's such an iconic costume. Like, they didn't know that they were creating one of the most iconic things, but for the worst reason possible. Like, because I think everything about this is just, it looks so fucking stupid and bad. Like, I don't know why they went with the little tiny head on the person in a suit.
The big body person.
It's such a weird choice.
It's very strange, especially when they were like, that's what a Goomba looks like in the video game. But they were like, we can't really do that. I guess they just needed them to be like the soldiers. So you needed something that was imposing, but the little heads remind me of Beetlejuice, which is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
A little tiny head, but then also it's like some of them are snake mouths, some of them are dinosaur mouths.
Yeah, more of like an alligator snout to them. That was weird.
I remember some of them, they all evolved from different dinosaurs. Koopa is from a T-Rex. Yeah. Similar situation
here. The king of the dinosaurs.
King of the dinosaurs.
Who could forget?
Of course, they put the little harmonica on Toad so the rest of us know who he is in the rest of the movie, which is great because he's going to come back to help out later in there. And then Mario pushes Koopa into the Devo machine and turns the knob to Primordial Ooze, and he escapes. But for whatever reason, nothing happens to Koopa, which is weird.
His eye goes crazy.
For a second.
Foreshadowing of what it'll become at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mario and Luigi hide behind some fungus that tries to give him a ba-bomb. The ba-bomb's going to come back 3 times. Rule of thirds.
Mm-hmm.
When we see the ba-bomb the third time.
Rule of thirds.
Absolutely. We see the ba-bomb the third time. We get real up close and personal with that particular prop. It does not look good. It's bad.
I had the same thought as you did, Nick.
I'm like, so bad.
It looks so bad. But then I came over where I'm like, but is it amazing?
It's
like,
amazing.
It's like it's so bad that like it looks real. Like it's that's how a bomb would look.
But
if
it also
people painted on it.
It also just kind of like it doesn't really fit this world either. Like I'd figure it would look more like the way the
cartoony.
Cop cars look.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it feels like it was pulled from a different dimension. Kind of like man, this movie.
Oh, I thought
really
it fit this so well, man. That fits the police cars so well. Like the bumpers of police cars being like offset and shit. Like. The eyes of the bomb being wrong, like I feel like that totally worked.
Of
it's
course,
also strange that like they adapted the bomb pretty much almost one for one
right,
with the game,
yeah.
And the Goomba is just a fucking dinosaur.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what the only thing that like does kind of match.
Stylistically, it's weird.
Stylistically, yeah. from Mario. But yeah, it does look like an Etsy toy you'd buy for $29.99 that somebody made out of some
like
resin
gumball or something.
Yeah.
They escape in a Mad Max style police car, and Luigi uses his knowledge of video games to navigate. The chase sequence is largely a mess, mostly because they have approximately 50 square feet with which to block this chase scene because they have to shoot the whole thing in a warehouse. I wish they could have gone outside to a cityscape for this, but instead it's just like a weird like whoop zany Looney Tunes style circle that they go in. Very, very strange, of course. Luigi's like, I want you to take the whatever, but he's really telling him to take the tunnels. They go into the tunnel. I do like the fact that when they get into the tunnel, they run out of the power line that's above them, like San Francisco has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the car just loses power.
It's great.
It's interesting. That's the interesting portion of it. Of course, it shoots them out.
I don't understand what's going on with their guns, the flamethrower guns. Like
they're fireballs. Like
they're the fireballs.
But are they like, are some of them shooting? Because I see some projectiles, right? Like we saw like kind of like rocket launchers, like, you see the projectiles flying by him. Mm-hmm. But then it largely seems like some of them are just like, here's a poof of fire a foot in front of the gun.
Yeah.
I think it's both. I think the poof of fire is for when you have to use a practical gun, and the fireball is when what we want you to think this looks like.
Okay.
Probably well, alt fire in their heads if they're canon that they're working with. The husband and wife directors.
You're referring to there's a moment where they get sandwiched.
Yeah.
And instead of having the fireball shoot through the car, it just kind of goes.
Yeah, it just.
It's just very, very weird.
It's annoying as fuck.
It's not good vlogging. This sequence just does not work for me. But of course, they get shot out the other end of the tunnel, and John Leguizamo says, "The tunnel just sneezes out, and this caught us like a giant booger.
I believe
caught us." And he's like,
"Real quick though, you say it doesn't work for you, and again, this is nostalgia speaking for sure. But watching this now reminded me of this scene being a little kid watching it, and when there's the cars on the side of it and they're in the middle and they speed ahead and they shoot each other. That was the first time I ever saw that. And it was the coolest fucking thing ever. It feels like very well done choreography for what they had to work with when you're a dumbass kid.
Oh, sure.
And here I am, 34-year-old man. I'm still looking at that. I'm like, they did that shit. They fucking did that shit.
Iggy and Spike come and tell Koopa that Mario and Luigi are in the desert. He orders the princess brought before him. Lena heads the holding cell and refers to Daisy as princess. And she says, "You have your mother's eyes." Iggy and Spike get evolved.
This is the woman from Harry Potter, right?
Aunt Petunia. Thank you. Correct.
Oh, my God.
No shit.
Yep.
This is the in review of Revelations. Are you fucking kidding me?
Aunt Petunia. Yeah. Very young in this, but yeah.
Very
my least favorite element of this movie. She is very voluptuous.
I mean, they put her in a corset. We'll just put it that way.
Super voluptuous.
These guys,
I don't like her in this.
You don't like her in this?
It's a character that's not needed at all.
Yeah, I'll agree. I think
the other girl in there, Judi Dench.
Weird. If you look closely, it's Dame Judi Dench and Helen Mirren in the background. The Spike and Iggy get evolved into Goombas, and this is where they start getting kind of talking like dorks and having fun with the way they speak. Now Koopa's wearing a dope black snakeskin suit. I just had a note there. It's cool nice. Little piece of wardrobe that he had. Lena tells Jason
like Spike and Iggy. Such a bulk and skull moment there. Like you could totally imagine this happening in Power Rangers if we got smart rays fucking that made our brain smarter. And so now they're like, oh, indubitably. Like it's just such a 90s fucking thing here.
Yeah, good, man. Lena tells Daisy that her mother stole the rock and headed to the other side when Koopa took over. She died, but her father is still hanging around somewhere. If you get my dream. Koopa gives the order to get the...
It really makes an impression. Fucking bad one-liner.
There's a lot of bad one-liners. Koopa gives the order to get the Goombas trained with their new handheld de-evolved guns, and then the princess arrives in front of him. She spots a little baby Yoshi.
One of these is just to toss in here with all the guns and shit. One of them's the Nintendo
Super Scope.
Thank you, Super Scope.
Yes, but interestingly enough, I wanted to ask. There's a part where where the fungus is like, hey. You gotta use this gun in this holster, and I was like, oh, it's gonna cut something free, and no, it just points at the screen.
It's like a mouse.
Like a mouse. Yeah. Was that a gun that was a Nintendo gun?
Ooh,
it seems like a throwback to the one that came with the NES.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a reference to the Zapper, but like not.
But wasn't the Zapper more like angled? Was it the Duck Hunt Zapper was like more angled?
Zapper's more angled, but the Super Scope is like the big sniper.
That one looked right,
bazooka looking one.
Yeah.
That later at the end of the movie, we see both Mario and Luigi with that, but it's like painted. Like, it's not. Actually the peripheral, but it is very clearly inspired by it.
I just thought I thought it was going to be interesting that she takes it out. It was like the Duck Hunt gun, but it wasn't. It was
no, that's not what this movie is.
The Duck Hunt
be,
came out before.
That'd be a little bit too on the nose.
Again, I think it's inspired by that in the interface of clicking through to do whatever you
There's
doing.
Also a really, 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 really bad one-liner that I wanted to point out because like it would have been funny if somebody yes-anded it, but there was somebody getting de-evolved and somebody in the room says, "Have a nice trip. See you next fall." But that's only ever used if, like, you're being tripped.
Like in Power Rangers 1995, the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kimberly like when someone says it.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
And so they're going to devolve. They're like, "Have a nice trip. See you next fall." And it would have been funny if somebody's like, "But they're not falling." Or, like, but it just made
have
no
a nice
fucking
trip.
Sense.
See you 65 Andy. Million years ago.
Andy, I want to let you know that your hand right now. He has this little fucking
guitar pick.
I thought your hands were red Cheeto fucking covered. And I was about to be like, you have a problem, my guy.
My left one was earlier today. You should have seen it.
At this point, Koopa shows her his serpent tongue and then tells her she's descended of dinosaurs. And he orders Toad to take her away so he can use her later and then kicks Yoshi. He's a bad guy. Meanwhile, Iggy and Spike try to catch up with Mario and Luigi, but they're still dumb. So Mario and Luigi get the jump on them. Iggy tells them that the rock, once inserted into the meteorite, will reunite the dimensions, allowing Koopa to take over and kill all the mammals. So they strike a deal. They'll give them the rock. They'll get the rock from Big Bertha and trade for Daisy. And they're like, deal. Daisy tries to free Yoshi, and they become friends because they're both locked in the tower. Mario and Luigi knock out some dudes in bondage with, again, another, these guys full bondage masks. Mm-hmm. They knock them out.
They're shy guys.
Are they shy guys?
No.
Wow.
Shy guys, but don't mind.
They get knocked out with plungers, and they use the truck to sneak back into the city. It's interesting that all the cars run off power lines. I already said that, whatever. Iggy and Spike give Mario and Luigi some suits so they can more closely resemble, of course, Tim, their classic iconic colors of red,
yellow, and green. Or, sorry, yellow and red.
Why not?
AKA me and Greg's outfits at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like,
so just because you showed up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we randomly showed up. We're both wearing these outfits. And throughout the day, I was like, this reminds me of something. And they hit me. I'm like, the 1990s Mario movie. Yeah. And then we see it. It makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
None at all.
I mean, why not keep green?
Yeah. Why?
Why not?
It's a wild.
That way it'll be a big reveal when they put on the green and red later. Because Jen would finally happens. There you go.
They sneak into a cool club where everyone dances like rattlesnakes. And the Kotech lady rats them out to Koopa. But before they do, they spot Big Bertha. Mario tries to charm her and gets knocked the fuck out. And then he's like, you know what? This is a lady who appreciates a good old-fashioned sex smack. So I'm gonna walk
she
up
likes
to her
being the Dama. And just she wants a sub.
Yeah, let her know that I'll cheat on my get girlfriend. That sus- Just immediately.
Whatever it takes.
They make out. Mario steals the necklace with his mouth, very sexually. And then suddenly...
Such wild imagery. It's a movie that I was like, oh, yeah, this is a kid's movie.
Let's break it down.
What I don't know if I want to break it. Was the scene do for me?
Mm-hmm.
Not much. The part where Mario buries his face into her titties, that was unexpected. I'll say that.
You know, now let me ask you this question. You look at that short little plumber, you don't think there's a guy that buries his face in some titties?
No, yeah, no, like, he did it very naturally. Okay, he did it very naturally.
Good. Because it's like, you know, eye level for most women.
Exactly.
I'm going to let that go? Okay, fine. Fine. Suddenly, the song changes to the classic "Open the Door, Get on the Floor." Everybody walked the dinosaur.
Yo, it's so good, man! Like, just I fucking got it on Spotify, and I've been listening to it just on repeat. Like, just this one song. It's like every line is a banger.
It's great, and I'm gonna listen to that. And what was the one from "Secret of the Ooze" called?
Go Ninja.
Yeah, that
go
one.
Ninja.
Oh, I'll listen to that. Yeah, okay. Just on loop on the way home as well. Bertha, of course. At this point, realizes she's been betrayed. Does
she
not
respects
care.
It. She Doesn't respects care. It a bit.
Because she has her little sub, and she wants to whip that Italian ass later down the road, so she helps them escape by giving them some thwompers. Is that what they're called? Yeah. Before they leave, she calls Mario.
Thwomp, thwomp.
She calls him Pudgy Buns, and then gives him a little smoochy smooch, and he's just like, I'm all in on this. Luigi spots
like, I want everyone to understand. Like, you might have watched this movie and not understood this woman, Big Bertha, is in fact the big fish from Mario 3.
Yeah.
It's just the big giant fish. Revelations.
Yeah. I didn't put
and
that
together.
And that's
why I'm saying that they're just giving fuckers names in this movie from like...
Yeah.
It's the big fish that eats you up.
They were going to name her a fucking Bullet Bill. What's a female's name for Bill? I don't know.
Oh, there's not many females
Billy?
In the Mario game.
Bullet Billy.
Yeah,
Betty?
There you go.
Bullet Betty?
Oh,
That's Big Bertha?
Yeah, that's Big Bertha.
Man.
And Jen asked me who this was supposed to be. I'm like, I have no idea.
Zero idea. But
almost as big a whiff was when she was when the credits were playing and we were talking. She's like, what's the end credit scene? I'm like, oh, there can't be an end credit scene. So I was just letting it go. And then she went to the bathroom and came back out. I was like, I lied to you.
And Greg, we'll get to it later, but can I tell you that Kevin and I would go to Blockbuster every week hoping that it might be there because we didn't know how movies worked then. And we're like, there's going to be a sequel to this movie.
Gotcha.
There's going to be. Gotcha. Where's Mario Brothers 2? It clearly is happening.
Yep.
Well, that happens even before the end credits.
That thing is incredible. It's so good.
Well, lucky for you, Kevin, it was so good that they did make a second one. People loved it.
Set a whole bunch of records right now.
Yeah.
Luigi spots another bomb, but still doesn't take it, so they jump into a garbage truck and escape. Over in Koopa Castle, Koopa's heads to talk with the old king, who is, in fact, a massive wad of slime and fungus.
No. Don't say wad.
It is a wad. Though.
I mean, that little wad comes out of that hole.
Boo.
How else is that? Ball of phlegm,
it's
I guess?
It's just so.
It's a wad.
Boo.
Very unsettling.
It's so gross, man. Disgusting. To be like, this is your dad. And it's just like a. I'm like, it. What's happening in the movie right now?
Like, what are you?
And this
you
is the part
right
that's
now?
Very Ghostbusters-esque for me.
Then he takes a moment for no reason,
if not better,
to order a pizza. Presumably so that Mario and Luigi will have a plot device to sneak into the tower. One would assume.
So yeah.
What is the pizza guy? In my brain, I'm like, how do the pizza guys dress? They dress in these workman outfits that are green and red. No.
Makes sense.
Absolutely not.
No.
It really felt like just a scene they forgot that they left there because they thought it was like funny.
I want the whatever but no mammal on it, but with that and make it spicy. What the fuck is going on?
But instead they decide
I go to bed.
No reptile. Easy on the fucking tails or shut up.
Luigi goes, "How are we gonna sneak in, Mario?" And Mario goes, "Like we always do, like or whatever he says." And I'm thinking, "Oh, they're gonna sneak in as either the pizza guy or perhaps plumbers by causing some plumbing related." Thing and they have to get there and all these people are all the no they just put on of course their iconic colors blue and green and blue and red
not yellow and red
no
and reverse
don't be have you ever played a Mario game what a weird choice on this but at least hey we got closer to the outfits of course Bob Hoskins has the newsy cap instead of the cabbie hat which is weird
I love these outfits
John Leguizamo has the backward green hat which
it's great dude Luigi yeah John Leguizamo with the backwards hat is the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen like he made Luigi cool.
I mean, he did.
Coolest
what are you talking about?
Thing I've
what are you
ever
laughing
seen?
About?
This is what
look Greg gave me when Tim said it's the coolest thing he's ever fucking seen.
Dude, I'm being so real with you. Like, so many of my life decisions were based on John Leguizamo in this movie.
That makes it a lot of sense.
I was never a backward hat guy, but like I could at any moment inches away.
I was going to say, never too late.
Never too late. Fucking late.
Iggy and Spike have turned sides now and are preaching Koopa's downfall. Koopa is a dick to Lena, who now has switched sides. Meanwhile, Mario and Luigi hide behind a bunch of Goombas in the elevator, and this scene is so fucking weird that the only way to get out is to teach them all how to dance. This movie's fucking crazy.
This unlocked a memory for me because like I remembered this one with detail, and as soon as they started doing it, I was like, yeah, this was a thing that happened.
This is a thing
and
that happened.
And watching it this time, I'm like, I still don't get it. Like, as a kid, I was confused about it. As an adult, I'm more confused about what the fuck that scene was.
Kev, do you want to tell the story?
Oh,
I don't remember the story. What's the story?
Me, Kevin, and Cool Greg.
Yeah.
We're obsessed with this scene. The power of music can get you anything you want. All you got to do is dance in an elevator.
Belief.
Yeah.
It was just so thought up at the last second.
But it inspired a generation, all right? There's a mall downtown in San Francisco that has an elevator.
Westfield.
That goes up 7 floors.
Yeah, right? Big elevator. Big ones.
Me, my brother, and Kevin.
Oh, no.
Spent an entire day just trying to get people to dance.
No.
Yeah.
Did it work?
No. So we went back the next day.
Jesus Christ.
Did it happen the second day?
No.
Yeah, it did. We got a group of people. To move with us.
Did you put your hands on these people?
Put our hands on these people as 9-year-old kids.
Yeah, no. I wasn't going to make it weird.
It was the 90s.
And did we sing the song from this movie as we did it? Yeah, we did. And it didn't work 18 times, but it worked a couple times.
You would have
got surprisingly, mall security was never brought into this situation. But every elevator ride thinks that it's just happening this one time. If one of those people came back to the elevator, like, what the fuck?
This shit was an inspiration, everybody.
We'll speed along here a little bit. Toad brings Daisy some fresh meat, and then Lena interrupts. Yoshi has a really pale tongue, which is weird. He uses it to whip Lena to the ground when she tries to stab Daisy. Daisy escapes, as do Mario and Luigi, while the stupid Goombas dance with each other. Toad brings Daisy some vegetables and gets lit on fire for it. Daisy puts them out.
This looks hilarious.
Yeah, goddamn.
I'm just like the...
Wait, did we miss the Yoshi getting stabbed?
Yoshi did, in fact, get stabbed in the neck as well.
The horrible moment.
Yeah, dude, shout out to Yoshi. I fucking love him with all my heart. This guy is perfect.
Why is he in the movie?
Why is he a literal dinosaur?
I don't know. Daisy puts him out, and then Spike and Iggy lead her to her phlegm wad of a father, Koopa's first victim of de-evolution.
Just this fucking cum shot of him.
You know what it reminds me of, Greg? Have you seen the movie Something About Mary?
I have.
Remember the cum dangling off of his ear?
Yeah.
And then she goes, look, hair gel.
Exactly.
I'm going to do the rest of the
nailed it. You like crushed this. It.
Oh, shit.
Good hair, Nick.
Badass. Mario and Luigi, when asked, hey, Luigi, how did you know the Koopas would do that? Luigi responds with, because everybody loves to dance.
The theme of the movie, Andy. The theme of the movie.
Everybody loves to dance.
Everybody loves to dance. Luigi takes another leap of faith and tells Mario to follow, but for some reason he gets hooked. We never even see the hook. I went back.
Yeah, he's an idiot. He jumps over there. Yeah, yeah. No, oh no, it's a hook.
But then the fungus does in fact save Mario. Yoshi sneaks in to be with Daisy, who rids him of his collar. Yoshi's like, "Hey, look, get the laser gun." And so she picks it up, and it turns out it's just a weird mouse that she uses to communicate with Mario and Luigi. This is really where you can start seeing where, like, they really didn't have any idea what's going on in the third act of this movie. People are running around. Mario and Luigi, Mario goes and saves Daniela. It's weird. And then they all run into Koopa again, which is very, very strange. It's like, oh, that was kind of boring and not inspired. Let's see. Koopa gets an update that all the troops are ready. Whatever. Daisy introduces the brothers to her dad.
Who
okayed really
this?
Gross.
He's like, "You did, sir." Oh, I'm like, no, why Dina. Is this fucking cop still in this movie, dude?
That guy, the fucking cop. Who is that guy? What's he from?
That guy,
character actor. He's in a lot of stuff.
Been a cop in like four other movies. I don't know what, but I want to say a John Hughes movie. I think. I'm not sure.
He's like a security guard somewhere. Right?
Somewhere.
Chases after unruly teens who are making kids dance in elevators.
Lena is captured and then tased, and she sort of has like a kind of moment where she gets tased. And you're like, okay, they really were into bondage and like horrible, like.
What's that weird face you just made?
No, he's
that,
right.
She's just,
it was weird. His fucking hair.
Let's see. Mario saves Daniela and missing girls. He really likes his tools. What's that? By taking a mattress and surfing the mattress through the luge tunnel.
So
there's some song in the place here too.
Daniela, Mario's girlfriend, he goes, "I promise to take her to WrestleMania," which is a great line.
Yeah.
And I love it because we looked like them at WrestleMania. Feels very topical. But then they go down the slide, the weird pipe slide, on a mattress.
Yeah.
Another inspiration moment for our lives.
Jesus.
When we grew up, I lived on the second floor of my house, and there was like a staircase that went down.
Often steep happens.
Steep staircase. Like, that was like, I guess I was on the third floor. So it was three stories down, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And the staircase perfectly fit a twin mattress.
Yeah. Of course it did.
So whenever my mom and dad would leave.
Sounds awesome.
Me, Kevin, and Cool Greg, take the mattress, play the fucking music from this movie off my Talkboy, and go down the fucking stairs on the mattress, baby.
Didn't we break something and then just never did it again?
We never got hurt. We broke things. We never got hurt. We never got hurt. We've did that hundreds of times.
And another example I wanted to bring up of these people just figuring out what to do the day of shooting was like sticking the wrench in that hole to make them flip. That just felt like such
That's not an answer.
We could have this. Like,
the plumber? You know. They have this thing?
Yeah, plumber.
Okay.
He uses his tools correctly. Koopa prepares the troops for war, but before he sets everything off in motion, he goes, "Hey, where's that pizza I ordered?"
It came back. You thought it was nothing.
Joke's on me. I'm a fucking idiot. I don't know how to write. Meanwhile, Mario and the ladies get totally tubular. We got that. Mario again uses the tools. They all split out of the city and sail in a mattress to the ground below. Again, the movie's showing its lower budget. We're in the same spot we've been five times. Mm-hmm. And when you watch a movie like this and you see that, you start to go like, oh, that's a little bit weird that we're back to the same set piece over and over and over again.
Matthew Dalgo says, the cop played by Don Link was in Short Circuit 2.
Oscar! That might be right.
In
what movie?
In Zootopia, he was the dad.
Koopa holds them all hostage with a fireball gun, but Luigi and Mario use the thump boots to knock him back. Luigi gives him his belt and tells him to trust the fungus, which I have to imagine some cocaine-addled executive thought would be the 90s equivalent to use the force. Yeah. And frankly, I'm shocked it wasn't.
Fungus, man.
Mario uses the fungus to climb to Koopa and knock out the rock out of his hand, which Lena catches and accidentally falls into Power Grid, shocking herself to look like the Bride of Frankenstein. Is that what her character looked like in the thing?
In what thing?
Exactly.
Game? Are you talking about the game?
Yeah.
Like, this woman is just nobody. Like, okay. She's one of the weirdest things of this movie. Like,
you guys can't have it both ways. You can't be mad that she's nobody in the game and then also be mad that Big Bertha's Big Bertha.
I'm not mad that Big Bertha's Big Bertha. I want that clear, Greg.
Mario runs after Koopa while Lena tries to put the shard back in the meteor. Koopa and Mario finally score off. And Mario finally uses the bomb, but everyone freaks out as it walks very slowly toward them. I like this comedy here. I was like, oh my God. And it's just like,
this is one of those moments as a kid. Like, I will forever remember the bomb like as it is walking across the street as he's driving the car and everyone's like stopping, like, yeah, dude, show the bomb some fucking respect, man. Dude.
Where does it come from?
The bomb?
Yeah.
That was Mario 3.
The bomb?
Or no, was it Mario 1?
No. 2. No, I'm talking like in the movie. Like, what's the source of it?
The mushroom. Oh, just a fungus.
I gave it to him.
Yeah. You just handed it over.
You gotta trust the fungus.
They were outlawed. They were outlawed as a weapon of warfare years ago. But the fungus has found all of them and moved them to strategic points.
Thank you. That's, the fungus is everywhere.
The WMDs, basically.
There's an armory somewhere in this town.
Let's see. Leon emerges the two pieces of rock and gets sent back to the Stone Age. Man, she sure makes an impression. Is a line that someone wrote.
Fucking shit.
That's what Koopa meant. Only I can withstand the force. What Daisy figures out, everybody starts particleizing as the world starts to merge up at the top. They pop up to the real world with immediate large watches. Koopa takes the Devo gun and accidentally hits Scapelli with a blasty, evolving him into a chimp with no teeth.
just a gap. He's poor got a gap. Guy.
No, he has three teeth in his mouth. How many fucking teeth are apes like are chimps supposed to have?
Nobody at least fucking 10. Knows. I always see chimps with a lot knows. They're teeth. The big mystery.
Yeah, they always say, ah, and they smile, then and they've got a beautiful set of veneers. Just like Mike's going to need one day.
Super white.
Super white. Koopa shoots another blast at Mario, who whispers to him, trust the fungus, as he uses a little mushroom to shield himself, and then it turns into a big mushroom shield. You're like, fucking A, all right, man, trust the fungus. Meanwhile, Luigi uses his tool to loosen the rock, sending everyone back into the Mushroom Kingdom. Toad gives Luigi and Daisy the Devo gun as the Ba-Bomb blasts, looks for another way up, climbs the thing. Koopa orders the Goombas to shoot Mario, but Toad plays music, and they'll start dancing instead, and apparently this is where it stops in Italy. Bertha gives Luigi more thwomp boots so he can jump up to Mario, and together they use the Diva gun to de-evolve Koopa while the bomb blows him sky high, but it doesn't really work. He lands in a bucket of rocks that we've seen before, which is weird, and then pops up in a massive dinosaur teeth. Mario and Luigi hit him again with the Diva gun. See you later, alligator, I think is what they say, or I wrote that in here, I don't know.
No,
this
do.
Time, do they say that?
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. It sounds like a stupid joke that I would write, but
far for the course. That was what they wrote, yeah.
This time he turns into slime and lands in the street below with a splash. Everyone cheers for Mario and Luigi. They're living
like
nightmares.
Primordial lose, right, kind of? Like, that's what he kind of turned into?
Yeah, that's what turned the turtles into ninjas.
Exactly.
Chris Anka in chat says, I lost the plot on this movie like 30 minutes ago, and that is how it was watching the movie in real time.
Yeah.
30 minutes before the end, I'm like, I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help that every 5 seconds we return to the same street. Set where you're like, this is a blur. I don't know. We've been here before. Have we ever left? Nobody knows. Luigi gives him a lift up to see Daisy, and people immediately start painting over Koopa signs while the Goombas dance for no reason at all. The king
super
played
fast transition.
Yeah, yeah, real fast.
They were waiting. They were.
They
excited.
Had those paint things like we cannot let the paint like, dry at any moment.
One day. One day. For no reason at all, the king played by Lance Hendricks just returns back to his normal form. Weird. We didn't re-evolve him.
Yeah.
And it just an interesting use of Lance Hendrickson. Just weird.
I don't know the exact line that he said, though.
He was like, oh,
good to be back.
I love those plumbers or something like that. Yeah. Gotta love plumbers. And you're like,
Super Mario Brothers is the best video game ever made. Yeah. It's like, all right, Lance.
Do you think, Tim, do you think when he was in WAD form, he just heard everything in the city?
Form.
So he knows.
Yeah, no, he was clearly
like, he's the last
fungus. It was him. Yeah. It was a fungal network. Here, yeah.
You're right. Daisy uses the rock to send Luigi and Mario home, but she has to stay because her. She has to stay. I said because her pink eye and makeup is on point, but then I put pink eye. I was like, did she have pink eye in that movie? And I'm like, no, I just confused myself. Mario tries to tell his little brother that Daisy can't leave until she knows where she belongs. Daisy and Luigi finally smooch. Greg, give it to me. Yoshi waves goodbye as Daisy once again uses the meteor shard to send them back to Brooklyn. 3 weeks later, Luigi is still moping around. He sees a report that the Mario Brothers about them on the Miraculous World. The announcer calls them the Super Mario Brothers, and we're like, oh, just like the door. And then a knock on the door, and Daisy busts in. I need your help. You're never going to believe this. Mario grabs his and Luigi's tool belt. He says, I believe it.
Wahoo!
Fuck you, Andy. That's where the theme comes back to play. Did you see it?
Music can do it. Everybody can do it. Power dance. Anybody can cook.
You know, Samuel L. Jackson came out and was like, hey, I'm thinking about the Avengers Initiative. That's all cool. This is the best post-credit, pre-credit scene of all fucking time that was never delivered on, man. We are owed this. Daisy showing up with a fucking gun. Like, let's fucking go fuck these motherfuckers up. It's bullshit, man.
Totally robbed.
Of course, we get the whole credit sequence. And then I was like, for whatever reason, I was like, maybe there's an end credit sequence in this movie that I don't ever remember seeing as a kid. And sure enough,
there was.
Mm-hmm. We get two Japanese businessmen pitching Spike and Iggy on a video game about their adventures. And they arrive at the name, the Super Koopa Cousins. And that is it.
Still waiting on the game.
It could happen.
It could happen. Any day now, Nick. That's what we're waiting for. Now it's time for something I like to call Ragu Bagu.
Ragu Bagu. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Right Guys Talk Bad Guys. I forget if you do this or not, but I'll just say here for the Super Mario Brothers franchise, number one on the list, Tim, we got Bowser?
From 2023,
played by, of course, Jack Black. He sings great in that song. I hear it's going to get nominated for an Academy Award. Where do we want to put
King Koopa?
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper. King Koopa, not Bowser.
Look,
King
Jack Black never had that mud line, all right?
Bro, right. Mud. It's clean and dirty at the same time, Andy. Just like masturbating. Is what he meant to say.
They cut him off too early in the edit.
It's just like that mud line really is something that would come out of like
so weird,
like Dune or like some sort of like it felt like an actual gangster type line. And I guess he was kind of like a gangster, you know, like he was a politician up there.
He's Donald Trump.
Strings, yeah.
He is Donald he really Trump. Is Donald he was Trump. Modeled after Donald Trump.
Yeah,
makes sense.
He's number two. This is number two.
I mean, listen, I could argue number one.
Go for it.
And I'll tell you why. Dennis Hopper.
I got bad taste.
I mean, just at least having a lot of fun with this. Crazy has more, I guess, slightly better motivations than Bowser, who just wanted to marry Peach, which is weird. In this one, he's just it's a more fun character. Is all
Nick, I'll say this.
It's lunatic. He's a lunatic. It's lunacy, but I'll say it.
I'm going to side with you. Even though it's an absolute like disgrace, and I definitely shouldn't be doing this,
yeah.
But I feel bad that Dennis Hopper, like you giving us those facts, Tim, of him being like, "Yeah, we're gonna film for 4 weeks," and he was there for 17 weeks. I feel bad for him. Let's give him what he deserves.
Let me ask you this question, Andy: how long do you think fucking Jack Black was in that VO booth? 6 hours for that?
Yeah.
They were like, "Jack, give us the music." Here's a check for $20 million. Dennis Hopper.
Let's wait for the Oscars next year.
Sure.
Because Nick, I don't know if you saw,
but he put a whole thing
up for fucking potentially being nominated.
I mean, I liked it. It made me laugh. I'm going to put him number one. Greg, what do you think?
Number two.
Blessing.
It's tough because I do like the idea of the de-evolution. Mm-hmm. I think that is such a cool concept.
You like the idea. You like the concept.
Is it executed super well? No, but I do like that. He's like, yo, I'm going to de-evolutionize the king until he becomes fungus. That gets everywhere.
Well, by this argument, then you should like this movie more than the animated one because the idea of this movie was cooler.
I mean, there's a lot of cool ideas in this
movie.
If
Blessing sides with Nick, I'm going to go the opposite.
You're both locked in, Andy. So this is all on Bless at this point.
No, I'm gonna put Dennis Hopper at number two and Jack Black number one. Yeah, purely because of Peaches. If the Peaches song wasn't in there, then Dennis Hopper would be number one for me.
That's fair.
So number one is Bowser from 2023. And number two, I'm gonna put Dennis Hopper. King Koopa.
Bing, 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 bing.
Now it's time to rank the movies. Now, I'm gonna be real, I'm gonna start here. I'm very high on this movie. I love this movie for what it is. It is so number two. It is not even fucking close. 2023 is a fucking Mario movie.
Tim, don't do this.
Kev, I want to hear your thoughts. Do you disagree?
Tim's talking like this is ninth beer. He hasn't even drank any of it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed, like, I thought that the new one was fun, and there are a lot of Easter eggs. But, like, the story, like, is you know, it's a kid's movie. It feels like a kid's movie. This movie was great from when I was a kid. Like, legit great. Loved it. And I, like, watch it now, and there's a lot of nostalgia, and I enjoy it.
I feel like your brain got devolved back to being a kid, Kevin. Because I put it on Twitter, what movie is better, TMNT 1990 or Super Mario Bros. 1993? Tim?
Mm-hmm.
89% have voted TMNT.
Yeah, no shit. I'm not surprised by that. You know,
they probably haven't seen the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, I'm not even talking shit about it. Like, I'm with Nick. It's like, yo, look, legitimately, they are way closer than I think people realize.
Remember Casey Jones was like,
"Wait, Andy, do you Casey not Jones. Like the '99s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?"
No, he likes it.
No, I'm saying like these movies aren't close at all in quality.
Oh, they no, so they are. Dude.
They are so, not. Dude, they are so not.
Close. I think they're closer than you think.
They are not.
Yeah. The '90s Turtles movie not as good as people.
Yeah, here's my question. I'm sorry. As someone who only does the superhero and scary stuff, were you on Ninja Turtles in review? Yeah. Okay, cool. Just making sure because I'm not saying anything. I have not watched 1990s Ninja Turtles since I was a child, so I have no leg to stand on.
I would love for you to.
I don't believe it, but I can't. I have nothing to argue. So if you're saying it, then I'm with Andy.
At one point, Leonardo opens his mouth to talk, and
you can see the guy. I know. Yeah. It's terrifying. I'm aware. Yeah.
What is that one compared to Secret of the Ooze? Because that's the only one I saw was the second one. Was that the bad one?
Complicated conversation, bless.
Okay.
You should watch and review Ninja Turtles. We did them all. You should check it out. YouTube.com.
Because I'd probably go as far as to say that I might like the Mario Brothers movie more than TMNT 2. I don't know if that's crazy for the audience, but I'm going to say it. Except for Go Ninja Go, which is a fire ass song.
Fucking fire.
But Mario stuck with me more.
I just feel like time's passing you by, Andy. You're just wrong on this one.
All of Twitter agrees with me.
I know.
But all of Twitter hasn't just watched these movies.
1,100 votes.
I don't even know what we're talking about. Where do we want to put this movie?
Number two.
Greg, let's put it number two.
Plus, I want your thoughts on this.
It's number two, yeah.
It's number two, yeah. We all agree. It's number two. But
I haven't waged my vote
yet. Oh, sorry, you're right. Nick, what do you think?
But I would say it's number two. Yeah, of course. I mean, look at the anime.
You do put this under it.
I would put it under it. I enjoy this movie. Yeah. I enjoy going back and watching this movie from a nostalgia perspective more than I enjoyed the animated movie, I'll be honest with you. But based on its merits, the animated movie is just, based on the animation alone, is just stunning. And it's beautiful to watch for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
I can't in good conscience put this above that. But me and Kevin thought about how we could scheme to get this movie at number one. And Kevin, I'm sorry, I failed you.
I love that. I mean, legit, I love this movie for what it is. I love the new movie because it's a Mario movie. They fucking did the thing, and I want to give them a round of applause if anyone would join
me. Shut up, Tim.
Thank you. Shout out to fucking this movie, too. I want a round of applause for the 1993 Mario. Who's going to join me, baby? Thank you, guys. I fucking love Mario, y'all. And I love movies, and I love talking about all of them with you. Let me know in the comments below what you thought of the 2023 Mario movie and the 1993 Mario movie. Where would you rank them? What are your thoughts? How do they compare to the 1990s Turtles movie and the 1992 Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, just for Bless.
I still don't know what the consensus is on that one. Is that a good one?
It's complicated. It's very complicated. Okay. Like, Secret of the Ooze, our favorite growing up, because it's a dumb kids movie, very similar to 93 Mario.
Mm.
90 Turtles is better than 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, two.
As good as the 93 Mario movie.
I watched it in 92, thought I was dying.
It's not. He gets the final word. I love it.